Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
830-WCCO, the texts keep coming in. I've always said 1 hour for church, 2 hours for a movie, 3 hours for a sporting event. From Jen. Only minor tweaks need to get the game faster. There might be 30,000 people at the game, but hundreds of thousands are listening or watching while at, and that's what's important, I think, at least. How about you? Yeah, that's very important. And so you got to construct this thing into one, you got to package it correctly, is what we're saying. So we'll get back to that in a bit. But this NIL is an interesting thing. And it's probably the most fascinating thing I've ever covered in college sports because it's changing the game, the transfer portal of the NIL. Jackson State's sitting down there, and they're getting players, and they're already really, really good. And Deion Sanders comes in, you know, he's kind of at the forefront of it. But coaching with him is Mike Markeson, who grew up right here in Farmington, Minnesota, went to Hamlin University and starred there for the Mighty Mighty Pipers, and now coaches the offensive line for Deion at Jackson State, and they have been in the middle of this whole thing. And he is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. But, Mike, are you doing a little vacationing in Minnesota?
I am, Mike. I'm up at Cross Lake with my family, so it's been awesome.
Is it pretty nice up there? I heard they got 3 inches of rain the other night.
Yeah, but it's cleared off and just a nice breeze, high 60s, and I love it.
That is a nice day, man. So, you know, Mike, I thought about you, and this all got kind of, the floodgates got open, and it's been like drinking out of a fire hose trying to figure out what's going on. But Jackson State gets mentioned often because you guys have the access to, you already had really good players, and now you have the opportunity to get more, and you've got Deion out there as kind of, a carrot to dangle to them. What's life been like on the coaching staff since the NIL and earlier than that, the transfer portal?
Yeah, well, certainly we have made our living since we've been at Jackson State in the transfer portal and junior college players. We don't have many high school kids. Of course, we had to try to get it turned around. But he certainly attracts a lot of attention, from players throughout the country, really good players that have Power 5 offers, and his name and his pedigree and what we're selling is a lot of these guys are really interested in our program. Obviously, we're getting some guys to commit, and they're jumping in, so it's been good.
How does it work for you? I mean, are you guys inundated with kids that are in the transfer portal that want you to look at them, and you're looking at tape every day because there's so many that want in?
Yeah, we just kind of, we've gone after some very good high school players, but our thought was, and I think coach's thought was, hey, let's try to go out there and get those guys that are leaving other schools. And sometimes there's problems with that now, too. It's not always a glorious thing. There's a reason why guys are transferring. But let's try to upgrade and get the best guys we can. If there's some very good high school players that we can get, let's go get them. But we've really made our living here the last year and a half in the transfer portal and junior college players.
Now, are they studying the NIL potential? You can't quote them what they can make in the NIL, I know, but once they get there, then they can do whatever they want. Are they studying that closely? Or are kids asking a lot of questions about that? What is that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that element is there everywhere. It doesn't exclude us, even being a 1AA institution. And, I get questions on it all the time. I called a recruit a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me how much money a certain school was going to give him and what could we do and all this and that. I started laughing myself. That's out of my – I'm going to recruit and let the other powers be handle all that. But it's just amazing how it's changed, even at our level. And it's obviously nationwide.
But, you know, Mike, what's interesting about it is they talk about the rich getting richer and this will turn into, 10 teams and et cetera. But it's also an opportunity for Jackson State to say, okay, we got the coaching staff. We got the team. If we can get the NIL going and some of that stuff, I don't care if we're the SEC or not. We'll play anybody, anytime, anywhere. I mean, there is that opportunity now, right?
Oh, absolutely. And our head coach is all about that. I mean, he wants guys that we get to think that they have a chance to go play in the next level, and he wants us to recruit the very best guys we can get, no matter who we, have to go up against, which, you have to be a realist too. But there are some out there that they love Coach Prime and what we're doing at Jackson State, and it gives us an opportunity. So we've been fortunate. We've signed some very good players and players that had opportunities to go to bigger schools and had NIL stuff out there, but chose to come to our place. So,
Coach Mike Markison is our guest at Jackson State, but from here originally. Is it completely different now to be a coach in college football than it was, as recently as a few years ago or when you were at Arkansas and grinding it out? I know that was tough enough, but, is it completely different because you have to think about so many things when you get to the office in addition to teaching them, footwork and pad level?
Yeah, and it's all about money, right? And even here recently, a few years back, the NCAA granted athletes cost of attendance said we can give you X amount of dollars per semester to help you along with your scholarship, because a lot of kids, their scholarship doesn't cost the basic needs. It takes care of their room and board. It takes care of their tuition. Takes care of their books. Well, wonder if I'm a poor kid and I need more. Well, Here comes cost of attendance. Well, even a lot of schools, the cost of attendance is a strain to be able to have to pay that money, especially if you're a smaller school. You don't have those kind of dollars coming in. That's hard. So here comes the cost of attendance, so that the schools gave kids that in all sports, and you still have, obviously, federal money, Pell Grant money.
Yeah, the Pell Grant is something that people don't realize either. For if you're financially disadvantaged, there can be, I don't want to call it a nice payday, but it is fairly significant for a lot of kids, right?
It is. If the school will give them the Pell Grant, because a lot of schools, a lot of 1AA schools, even I would say Division II schools, they'll take the Pell Grant to supplement the scholarship. Oh. They might tell them when they're recruiting that person, look, we're going to give you a full scholarship, but Pell Grant's going to help supplement what's going to cost for you to go here. So a lot of times there's that individual that still has zero money.
Yep.
And then there's other cases where, they may negotiate it where, nah, we're going to give him a full scholarship, make sure he gets all of his Pell Grant to put in his pocket. So it works a lot of different ways with a lot of different places. But that's my experience with it.
So, Mike, early on in conversations now when you're recruiting a kid, does money, and there's no rule against this, it just feels so different. Does money come up a lot? Or, is that an early question or is it what?
Well, it can be. And really, I haven't had a lot of those conversations, but I will say this. I did as recent as 3 weeks ago, was talking to a young man who's a 23 guy, and he brought it up to me. And I was just going, oh, my gosh.
Yep.
And recently this kid signed a Power 5 deal, and I'm sure he got NIL. But in the text conversation, there was some mention of that. So it's out there. I mean, everybody knows that. And these athletes, they're going to use it. They're going to go, obviously, where they can get the best deal.
So really, I mean, and kids will be looking at things like, well, does that particular market have, what kind of industry do they have there? Because that might tell them where the money is, right? I mean, you can go to a school that's in farm country, and guess what? There may be some big-time implement dealerships there that are really vested in the program, and that might be a better deal for you than going somewhere where it's urban and looks rich and green, right?
I'm sure what you're saying is, I'm sure, true. And, you know, just, you know, obviously there's schools up here that are very rich in tradition besides the U and and some of the Dakota schools that are very good. I mean, you think of South Dakota State, North Dakota State, two really good FCS programs that, you know, they got to compete and knock heads with each other in recruiting. So, you know, what's going on with them? But I'm sure, like everybody knows, it's out there and a lot of folks are, you know, that are alums or businesses that deal with these universities are probably spreading their wings and they're helping that way. So, and they want to, they want to be good, and to be good, you got to get good players. And to get good players today, now that's part of the equation, that
part of the equation
is out there. They want to get it.
Now you added a former Gopher head coach by the name of Tim Brewster to the staff. Have you had a chance to spend much time with Brew?
He told me to tell you, say hello. As a matter of fact, Mike, I talked to him today.
Yeah, tell him for me. I used to do the show with him, you know?
Yeah, Tim's a good guy. He's a great addition. He's been everywhere. The guy's never had a bad job. He really hasn't. And, you know, he hooked up with us and going to help us. And really a great recruiter, great person. I met Tim a long time ago out recruiting when he was at Texas and I was at Arkansas, so.
Oh, man.
Kind of funny when he.
Those are some recruiting battles now, Texas and Arkansas, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, he was. So, yeah, it's good that Tim's with us. He's going to help us. Obviously, when you can get a guy of his caliber recruiting and coaching places he's been, the players he's had, that just helps Jackson State. So we're really glad that he's with us.
Mike Markison, last question. I mean, what is the buzz at Jackson State? Because it seems like I can't pick anything up or walk by a newsstand without seeing a picture of Dion or something like that. What's the buzz just in pure attendance and football buzz there?
Well, I can tell you this, Mike. We got great fans. We have great Jackson State. We have phenomenal fans. You know, we had 350,000-plus games last year in our stadium for FCS football. And on the attendance front, we had in the attendance front across the country, I think we averaged 20,000 more than the next FCS school.
Wow.
So our folks are, they're crazy. They're amped up. They're ready to go. You know, there's a lot of hype. People expect, there's a lot of high expectation, obviously. Of course, Coach Prime, he loves that. Mm-hmm. You know, we won last year. We got to go try to do it again this year. And people are excited about Jackson State football.
Well, fun stuff, Mike. I thank you for taking some time out from your vacation. Have fun up there in that cross leg. Go over to Breezy Point there and see Elvis and have a great week of it.
Thanks, Mike. Good talking.
You too. Mike Markison, nice enough to join us, assistant coach at Jackson State, but originally from here. And now he's had a lot of good times. He's at Arkansas for a long time, Wisconsin. He coached the offensive line for the Badgers. He's done a lot of things. When we come back, obviously this impacts Minnesota as well. And there was a very interesting conversation I had the other day about a particular player and whether or not the NIL could slant him or he'd go pro next year because he could be high impact. He could make the difference between a championship and not, or he could go pro. And how do you make sure that he stays in college or that he wants to come to college, the University of Minnesota? I'll explain it, but it's a very interesting and complex situation that I think I have the answer to. I'll share it with you when we come back. To the max, fun conversation with both you, the listening audience, and Mike Markison so far to start it. But one of the things that came up the other day, here's what's going to happen. The big-time programs, football and men's basketball, are going to be the bread and butter, just like it is for everything else. They pay for everything. And then you're going to get ancillary sports that have people that really stand out, maybe in the Olympic Games, or maybe they do something that makes them a household name, and they'll have a chance to be an influencer as well. And then you've got that kind of somewhere in between. And I think I'd put Gopher Hockey right there. They haven't sold out and all those things. There's value there, but we're not quite sure how much. There's lots of things that surround it where you're not quite sure. And the reason I bring that up was the other night they Logan Cooley, who's already committed to Bob Motzko and is quite a get for him out of the Pittsburgh area, was drafted number 3 overall by Arizona. And so Arizona, who is starved for good hockey players right now, there is a theory or at least a thought that, you know, hey, if this guy has a good camp in the summer and he looks like he's game ready, maybe Arizona just says, hey, start with us. You know, it doesn't happen very often, but, you know, Marin Gabrick never went anywhere else. He just came right to the Minnesota Wild, and they didn't think that when they drafted him, but he was so good out of the gate, and it was an expansion team, but I'm sure they were as good as Arizona, and they said, well, let's just grow the kid. And so there's some conversation that Cooley could be of that ilk, where what's the difference? Go play for Arizona, even if you don't play on the first line or the power play, et cetera. You're going to be getting good practices in, and you're going to get paid. So now the question that comes out of that, or at least the conversation then becomes, well, now there is a way to maybe offset that for him, and that is through an NIL deal. So it's not as attractive to go to the pros financially because you've got this fallback. You've got this money coming in now to be a college kid. And it might not be the same as the NHL, but it probably doesn't have to be. You get to relax a little bit and enjoy yourself a little bit, be a student a little bit before you put all the pressure on you. That, you know, we had Tom Chorsky on last night, and he said when he got the call, he said he was drafted in the first round where he got drafted by Montreal. He couldn't believe it because he didn't expect to go that high. And then his next thought was, boy, I'm starting to feel the pressure already. You know, you don't think about that piece of it when a kid gets drafted. I'm sure there is some, you know, they're very confident because they've had success, but there's also a great deal of, you're going, oh my gosh, they really do expect me to be good. And then you have to process through that, and you know, some do, some don't, et cetera. But Logan Cooley is one of those that's expected to be a star. Number 3 overall pick. They compare him to Neil Broughton some. So what if the Gophers have to make some kind of a commitment to him above and beyond a scholarship to keep him for at least a year? And this is where the NIL resurfaces, and you say, well, here's something they could do for him. But how do they get it done? Here's where the Gophers are going to win those battles, not just on Cooley, but on others that are considering, you know, the same thing or another school. This Lou Nanny has been sitting on the sidelines waiting to get involved with that program. He is involved. He's a great cheerleader, etc. But now financially, he's going to be able to help these kids. And, you know, very successful in what he's done in business. And I don't know, they can just flat out, he might just write the check and say, hey, come do a couple appearances for us at our financial place. And you know, here it is, right? But it's going to get really interesting because teams are going to have to compete against Lou for these players, in essence, because if they need NIL, there's Louie, who's made a king's ransom. And he loves the Gophers, and he wants to see them win in the worst way. And now you're talking about procuring, in the case of Cooley, someone that could, in theory, you know, he could be the piece that gets you to the national championship. It's really that simple. And you may be up against Arizona in terms of whether or not you get a chance to see him play as a Gopher this year. And so now it comes down to the Gophers or Arizona for a year. Enter Lou Nanny. Enter checkbook, enter, you know, whatever it is that he wants to do. He could have him make appearances at his restaurant out there. It used to be called Lou Nanny Steakhouse. Now it's called Tavern 23. I don't like that. I like the Lou Nanny Steakhouse much better. But, it's going to be so easy for him because he's going to have the access to all the money. And knowing how to broker these deals and do it, you know, if they got to be above board. You can't just give somebody money. They have to do something for the money. But you're putting Lou Nanny in the perfect position to change the face of Gopher hockey and take it to yet another level. And it's all legit. It's all above board. But Louie is going to have a chance to directly impact this like he's never had before. And, there's not much for him to pull that checkbook out and get something going. And so good luck, Arizona, competing against that. Because Lou wants nothing more than to see the Gophers win that national championship. And now, he's literally able to have a stake in it. And I'm just saying, I mean, you look at that and in the Nanny factor and what he can do for these kids, and he knows them well because, you know, not in the case of Cooley, but a lot of these guys he saw playing the state tournament because he called the games, and so he knows exactly who they are, what talent level they're at, what he could do with them in terms of NIL money, and it's pretty easy for him to figure that out, and that's all, or maybe he sponsors a whole line, you know. Maybe it's the Cooley line, you know, and there's three guys on there and they're the best, you know, whatever it is. And they put that line together, or, you know, it's the Cooley Faber, whatever. But I wouldn't want to be trying to spend against him because, he's got it. And a lot of these other programs don't. I know that sounds unfair. But it's the nanny advantage, if you will. It's the nanny advantage that the Gopher hockey team has that others don't. So, just food for thought. When we come back, we'll talk more hockey in the form of the commissioner of the USHL, Bill Robertson. They had a number of players drafted. And it's kind of complex how you go from being drafted to ever making it in the NHL. We'll talk to him about that. He has also worked as a commissioner of a hockey conference, so we'll talk some NIL with him. And he's worked for the Timberwolves, the Wild, and the Anaheim Angels. Now Los Angeles Angels. So there's a lot we can get into with him, including Ohtani and how you market him and what you do with him. All those things are next on this edition of Sports to the Max. For the forecast, let's send it over to my good friend Paul Douglas.
It's getting better out there. The wind's gusting up to 40 miles an hour from the northwest. Canadian air leaking south of the border. Dew points have dropped from low 70s this morning to upper 50s. By Wednesday, half as much water in the air as we had on Sunday when it was kind of swampy out there. It looks fairly dry for the next few days. The heat builds late in the week. A few garden variety thunderstorms likely by Friday and Saturday. It's early, but right now Sunday looks like the sunnier, nicer day of the week. Weekend. By the way, if you like it hot, you're going to be happy by the end of the week and over the weekend. Every day, highs near 90 degrees.
Currently cloudy in 76. NHL draft, NIL, all things, and then some that Bill Roberts can entertain. He joins us in the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. He's the commissioner of the USHL and beyond. Bill, thank you for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure, Mike, to speak to you and the great listeners out there in WCCO land.
Now, you were at in Montreal for the draft, correct?
I was.
What was that like from your perspective? What do you do? What do you get done? And what was it like?
Well, it was twofold for me in my current role as the United States Hockey League Commissioner. We had our summer business meetings in Montreal in connection with the NHL draft. So we had those all day Thursday, and then those meetings, and we went to the Bell Center to celebrate hopefully the success at that moment of the NHL draft for former alums and players that are currently playing in the United States Hockey League. And it was a banner first day, banner draft overall.
And you said 57 overall were taken in the draft?
Yes, and that was the fifth consecutive year we've had over 50 players drafted into the NHL, which is incredible for our league.
Well, there's not much better marketing to it. And that just, hey, guys, we had 50-some kids drafted. What more do you need to know, right?
Absolutely, and 98% of those kids will go on to play Division I college hockey. Most of them have already accepted commitments to play at universities all across the United States. So it's a testament to the great league. And to frankly, Mike, I didn't know that much about the league before I came into it. I've learned a lot. And the league is really a feeder system into both college hockey and the NHL. And it is the premier tier one league in the world right now.
Does anyone go from the USHL right to, you know, they excel and they jump and they go right to a professional team?
There's probably a couple every other year or so that go. I don't believe anybody this year will jump right to the NHL, but you never know what could happen and what kind of money is thrown at some of these players. And, you know, we had the third overall pick this year, Logan Cooley.
Yeah, we were talking about him.
Who played with the National Development Team, and they have a great program overall, outside of Detroit, Michigan. But I have to say, in the past, we've had the first two players picked in the draft before I was in the league, and it just every year it seems to build up, and the amount of scouts that come to our games, NHL scouts, is over the top. Sometimes there's up to 20 to 25 scouts at several of these USHL games.
Has it changed a lot since you worked for the Wild in terms of the intensity of scouting and how we produce them here in the U.S.? And I mean, has that changed dramatically, or has it always been kind of a scouts grinders league where you go to the USHL and keep turning up the rocks to find out what you can find?
Well, I think it used to be like that quite a bit. When I started back with the Mighty Ducks and the Wild, it was kind of a grinder where you had all your scouts and all your bird dog scouts out looking at talent all over the country. But now they have all these select camps, and the USHL has several every year. Our first camp of the year is in Pittsburgh. That starts out in September, and it's all 16 NHL teams and several youth teams playing. And we had over 375 scouts,
really,
and college coaches at it in Pittsburgh at the Penguins practice facility. So it's changed quite a bit. It's a lot like baseball now, where there's not as many bird dogs is out scouting individual games. They're going to these select camps and seeing the players. It's a much more efficient use of time, energy, and money for NHL teams and college programs as well.
Well, and the other piece to it is now, and I'm not saying that this is, you know, great high def always, but it's pretty easy to get video of these kids playing in a league like the USHL, right? So you can watch a lot of games live or on tape or whatever you want through streaming services that you couldn't before, correct?
Correct. Every one of our regular season games is streamed on a platform called Flow Sports. So fans can get those games. Scouts can get those games. NHL GMs get those games. In fact, on my way out to Montreal, I was on the flight with a lot of the Minnesota Wild scouting staff, including Bill Guerin, and I had a chance to have dinner with Bill prior to our flight. And I go back with him in the Olympics, both in 2000.
Oh, did you know him from there?
Yes, he was a player at that time when I was in Salt Lake and in Turin, Italy, and the World Cup of Hockey as well in 2006. So we go back and remain friends and still talk to him from time to time. But I asked him about our league, and he said, Bill, it's the premier junior league in all the world, and we have a lot to look at these players. Surprisingly, in the past, though, I think it depends on the GM and the coach. Some GMs really like the league and really focus on that, and others don't. But the Wild, and you know, I looked at the history when I went back and looked, and the Wild have, you know, they've selected in the past 10 years over 20 of our players, which seems like a lot, but there's teams that have selected like double that amount. So
really,
what that tells me is everybody looks at it a little bit differently. But Bill spoke so highly of the league, and it's a tribute to the kind of coaches and players that this league gets. I sound so boastful about it, but what I'm saying is I didn't realize getting into it, coming from the NHL and then coming from the college ranks, how big a deal the USHL really is.
Bill Robertson, our guest, as a former commissioner of a hockey league, Division I hockey league, and I don't know that they would have been that impacted by NIL money and the transfer portal, but to an extent they certainly are, because they all are. But you've been an administrator in that capacity. What scares you the most about where college sports are at, knowing what you know and knowing how money is now going to be the overriding factor for so many?
Well, I think they have to have some guardrails in place, and I don't think they're very good right now. I think it's still the wild, wild west. And when I was in the WCHA, I warned all of our schools about NIL is coming, and you're going to have to be ready for it. And the shift is going from the university to the student athlete, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing, Mike, and this isn't rocket science, but it's the haves and have nots. And I heard your conversation yesterday morning with Pete Najeri on the Sports Huddle show on Sunday morning. And you guys were talking a little bit about it. But it is scary, because when you get to the premier sports such as football and basketball, and then you get to sports like hockey and baseball, it really comes down to who can afford what. So your Alabamas and your Floridas and your Michigans and Ohio States can afford something different than schools that, say, were in the MAC conference or the WAC or the Big West conference. So you're going to see a real shift, I believe, in all the NCAA sports coming in the next couple of years. We've just reached the tip of this.
Yeah.
But what I'm afraid of is the guardrails aren't in place.
Right.
So there's people getting deals out there, and I don't think it's happening locally as much as it is more in the SEC and other places where these deals are just incredible for the young athlete. And I don't think it's fair to the other students that they're playing with, student athletes.
Well,
that is.
Bill Robertson's our guest, and you bring up a great point there. This is Pandora's box opened at warp speed. And so so you get it to an institution where a few guys get the money. Now, let's just say they don't end up being the star players. You got a problem in the locker room, you know?
You bet. You can imagine if the quarterback is getting several hundred thousand dollars for making appearances and has his own car and he has a pizza deal and he's not sharing that with the offensive lineman and his teammates, how hard is that going to be for those kids to look and say, geez, I'm working for you?
Absolutely. Or he gets beat out, you know, in the third game. He doesn't play well, and they go, you're out, but you still got the deals, you know?
Yes. And to the young student athlete, if they have the ability to get those deals, more power to them. I don't think that's a problem. But college athletics has changed since you and I were in college, for sure, and it's about to change again. And you're going to see these super conferences, and then everything else is going to be at another level, I think, over time, which
yeah.
is very sad to me.
Yep.
Because the in college hockey in particular, the unions, the providences, these smaller schools could compete at the Division I level and play effectively. Minnesota State Mankato made it all the way to the championship game. And
Denver's not that big either, and they won it.
Correct. Those are smaller schools that are winning the national titles. That does not happen in college football, and I don't see it happening in college basketball either.
But do you think hockey will end up maintaining what it is? In other words, it'll be a football, basketball, Super Five, or whatever it is, and then everybody else is here, and hockey will fit into some in that stratosphere somewhere below that, you know, that Power Five, football, basketball, and they can stay comfortable where they are? Or do you think that's almost impossible because the money will dictate it?
Well, I think the money will dictate a lot of it, always does, but I think it'll be a tier below that. And I think single sport conferences like hockey are in trouble because I think they're going to get absorbed by bigger conferences to say you're going to be part of our overall umbrella. And that's just a fact of life. Whether it's men's hockey or women's hockey, that's going to be an issue moving forward because schools aren't going to be able to or want to afford to fund a single sport conference like hockey.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even figured out where all the carnage is on this. Well, I got a baseball question for you because you worked with the Angels and you know L.A. well. What would you do if you were still working PR with Ohtani? You've got this thing that nobody's ever really seen before. The team's not playing well. He's a standout. He sells tickets, etc. How do you manage a situation like that?
Well, one thing they have for sure is they have over, I believe it's 50 Asian media covering him every day in
wow.
Anaheim.
I mean, that's just to give people perspective, the Twins don't have 50 total right now.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. They have over 50. Now, when I was with the Angels, they had the first pitcher, Shigetoshi Hasegawa, who's not a big name at the time, but back in the early 2000s and the late 1990s, he was the first American League player with Japanese descent.
Before Ishiro, yeah.
Yes, and he Nomo was the first one with the Dodgers.
Yep.
In the National League, and we had over 25 media covering us every day.
And that's just the Asian piece of it. You still got the Americans, the regular beat writers, and TV stations, everything else.
Correct. So what I would do, handling him is every time we went to a city, I would try to get a majority of the media responsibilities, and they are responsibilities, and I believe they need to take care of that, because they have to be selling that product and that person to the public, since their team is not doing well. So if it's me, we go into each city and do media availability every homestand or every a road trip, excuse me. And then before every homestand, we try to do that at the beginning and get him out there and do all the things he needs to do to make that name, the Anaheim Angels, successful. That's how I would project it. So he has time to focus on his pitching and the other piece, his bat, the designated hitter. He is a one special player from what I understand. And I'm told, Mike, a real quick story is last year when he played in the All-Star game, he had a bonus clause. I think it was $200,000 to make the All-Star team from the Angels. He took all the money and gave it to the clubhouse attendants, the trainers, the equipment managers, and the PR staff, the people that are taking care of him on a daily basis. He split it all up, had his agent do all that, and they cut him all checks as gifts, not as taxable income. But he wanted to make sure that they got that for all the people did for him.
That is called a great alliance to have if you're generous like that. Hey, Bill, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll do it again, but thanks for the insight.
All right. Look forward to talking to you soon, Mike. Take care.
You bet. Bill Robertson, commissioner of the USHL. 57 kids drafted. Wow. Take a break. Come back. Digest that on Sports to the Max. Digest this because of Sports to the Max. Dickie's Barbecue. Negan, man, the barbecue pit out there. You've got a hankering for some good barbecue. And the meat, you go, I'm not quite sure what kind of meat I want. I just like it hot. Perfect, man. You take your pick. Tell them what kind of sauce you want on it, and then go with the pulled pork. No. Maybe the chicken. Let me think about that again. Those sausages, those are really good. But barbecue, you get a brisket when you have barbecue. Oh, the choices. The mouth is watering. The thought of what could be. The side orders are, I don't want to say the equal, but they're pretty darn close. You get two sides with that brisket, and you get the beans and the coleslaw or the mac and cheese. I got to tell you, I'm partial to their dinner rolls. But here's the other piece. You are organizing something in the form of a party, and you want this party to go really well. And here in Minnesota, we just like good food. We're not that concerned about fancy schmancy, are we? We just want good food, okay? You're throwing the party. You got the sales meeting. You got the guests coming over. You just want to give them good food. Call Dickie's and let them cater it for you. Let them take that off the table and put it on the table, if you will, because Dickie's can do it better and more economical than anybody else. That's the way Tom Eckerud built that business. Dickie's.com. Click on the Egan Barbecue Pit. Dickie's.com. Click on the Egan Barbecue Pit. Yeah, let them do the hard work so that you can just reap the rewards. Dickie's Barbecue and Egan. Luis Arise and the guys will take on Milwaukee tomorrow in a battle of first-place teams, one of the National League, one of the American League. That's pretty good, isn't it? July, nice warm night. You got the Brewers coming to town. You got a little bit of a rivalry. You got some Brewer fans out there. You got a cold beverage. You got the Twins playing, first-place baseball. That's a pretty good way to spend a night. Because, we think about this all the time. In January and February, I can't wait till it's summertime. Those beautiful summer nights in Minnesota. Then all of a sudden you get into June and you're still tying things up, working on things. And then all of a sudden we start heading towards the 4th of July and you go, I haven't even done anything yet. And I think about this beautiful weather all the time and I never do anything with it. Because now all of a sudden it's here and pretty soon they're going to have back-to-school sales on. The time is now. Go out there and enjoy a ball game. They're in town. Saints are in town. MLS in town. Wednesday night they play at home, I believe, against Seattle. Can you check that, Chris? I think they're at home. And it is what you will remember, those beautiful, soft summer nights in Minnesota. Clark Griffith always told me that was the Met Stadium, that was one of the problems.
Yeah, and it looks like they on the 13th they are playing Sporting KC.
Yeah, here on Wednesday night.
Yes, Wednesday night.
Yeah. And Clark used to tell me that people would say to him, boy, the soft summer nights. I just miss Met Stadium so much when the team was in the dome. He said, I used to love going out there to a beautiful night. But he goes, that was the problem. Your memories are all accurate because the only time you'd go to games were from mid-June through mid-August. We needed you there in April and September. Those beautiful, beautiful nights. We come back, umpiring is a bit of a problem. We're seeing some violence. We're seeing some people strike out. Literally and figuratively, and we're seeing tough ways to recruit it. Frank White knows all about it because he's been involved in it for many, many years. Is it worse now than it's been before? Is it just because we see more videos surface that are viral? Really good and fair questions that we'll entertain next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.